Welcome to Songcatcher right here on Radio Adelaide on digital, online, and 101.5 a.m. 5 a.m. That was not right.
That was an early morning version of Claire.
I think I'm
Good
still
morning,
asleep.
Good morning, Claire.
FM. I'm glad I'm awake now.
That's got to go on, hasn't it? What a way to start. Get the adrenaline pumping.
I like it. I like it. We might do that from now on.
Of course, well, if you're going to be here at 6 a.m., I might be sleeping in, I think.
101.5 a.m., you know.
Anyway, you're listening to Songcatcher.
Yes, and here on Songcatcher, we have a really good time interviewing songwriters and music makers, and that's our mission in life.
And listening to some of their music as well. We've got some demo tracks from pre-records for an album coming out maybe later this year.
And
maybe. We'll have to find out, won't we?
And who is our guest tonight?
We have Melinda Cronin in the studio, and along with Rowan with his little Suzuki guitar.
This is going to be fun.
It is going to be fun. Melinda is a new student. She's got her student's hat on. I think she's a bit of a perpetual student,
actually. Did you want to
student,
see my student
actually.
ID card? Do I need to have that to get in? Or?
There's been lots and lots of students of Mel. She's said hello to Billy because they were doing Cert 4 in music together at TAFE. And before that, there was guitar and piano and lots of vocal tuition. But right now, Adelaide Uni, a Bachelor of Music in Popular Music and Creative Technologies.
Why? Threw myself in the deep end, Clayton.
You
threw myself in. Well. And actually, one of the songs is called Sinking, so it's about throwing myself in. I don't know if I'm particularly getting to the top. I think I'm just about getting to the top at the moment.
So we'll get to hear a lot more about that song because that's actually our talk about song later on this evening. So at the moment, I believe you're recording or in the process of recording your first full-length CD at Charisma.
Yeah, well, my producer, Adam Lutley, went out and checked out Charisma, and he said it's fantastic. And I don't think Corey Stewart runs out of there as well, doesn't he? Oh,
I'm not exactly sure, Mel.
That's the in place to be, Clayton, in place.
Well,
so
I probably have a charisma problem, so I probably need to be there to up my charisma and mojo.
You do, Clayton, you need to go there. It rubs off on you. It's just like osmotic.
Welcome along, Mel.
Thank
anyway,
you.
We're going to have a lot of fun. And student life is treating you well?
Yes, I'm loving it. It's full on, absolutely full on. I'm doing it full time this year. So
how many subjects are you doing and what
it's
are they at the
four.
Moment?
Four is full time. Mm-hmm. We actually, because we're in the arts faculty, we had to do an arts subject. So we actually got thrown in to this crazy art subject that we all had to do. It's compulsory for all music students. It had nothing to do with music. Mm-hmm. I actually wrote an essay, a research essay on carbon trading, would you believe? So how that relates to music, we don't know. But it's all about, it's called the inquiring mind. So it's all about learning about your environment and being socially aware and socially conscious. So I had to write this. I failed my first attempt, but the second attempt, I actually got a distinction for.
Oh, and we've sent that along to Malcolm Turnbull for his reference, I hope.
For his edification. I hope he reads it. It's got lots of good points in it.
So.
But yeah, that's one of the subjects.
What are the other subjects?
Okay. So we're doing the music fundamentals, or all theory, all that really good stuff. Technology, so we're learning how to write music on different programs. Mm-hmm. So Ableton, we're using Ableton. Next semester we're doing Pro Tools.
Is that like kind of MIDI-style writing music? Is that what you
MIDI.
Mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did MIDI and live, so we did lots of different stuff.
Yeah.
And then we do songwriting.
So a whole
it's a
separate,
whole
course,
separate
on
course on songwriting.
The composition, the lyrics, the melodies, and then I guess the layering and stuff as well.
Layering.
Maybe or not.
What do you mean layering?
Oh, building up those different layers of different sounds in a song.
Yeah, that's music tech. We'll probably do that more into that stuff. Is that what you mean?
You're jumping way ahead.
Well, I don't
this
know.
This is
what
you
mean.
Have to
I'm asking
to.
The questions,
layering.
Not supplying the answers.
Layering. Well,
I mean, you could be doing hairdressing and layering someone's hair. I don't know.
I got your point. Yeah, layering. You know,
but it sounds like fun, and it's got you thinking differently.
Yes,
and
definitely.
Sometimes thinking differently, even according to what you thought you'd ever be doing, like writing essays on carbon trading.
That's right. Opening your mind, Clayton. It's all about opening your mind. And yes, my mind has certainly got opened with this course. So it really prepares you for, you know, working in the music industry, whatever way, you know, area
so
you want to get into.
Once you've written an essay on carbon trading, Have you now decided that that's something we need to do?
No, it doesn't work. And that's been proven that it doesn't work. And that was what the whole essay was about.
Okay.
Yeah, it's failure, okay. Basically. Yeah, I won't go into it, but you know, you can read my essay. I'll flick you my essay.
We'll have to find another hour for that.
That's another
show. An interesting show in terms of essays I have written in completely offbeat subjects that I didn't ever think I'd tackle.
Yeah, there you go.
Because I must admit, I've known Mel for a few years, and I would never have picked her for a carbon training.
Well, I thought it was the easiest one there. That's why I picked it. It wasn't.
What were the others?
It was the most straightforward.
Oh, my goodness.
But it wasn't straightforward.
Okay. I think it's time for some music.
All right.
Now, first up, Sleep to Dream. Would you like to introduce us?
I recorded this at Brett Sody Studios beginning of last year. I'm actually going to go into the studio and re-record this one. So this is the first take of this. So... yeah, I wrote this song when I was really bored in one of the jazz units at TAFE. I was waiting for my turn to come on, and I wrote the lyrics while I was waiting for my turn to come on. And then I went upstairs to the computer lab, and one of the guys up there I was doing the course with started just jamming on some chords. So I put the words over the chords, and he kind of helped me write the first verse, and then I did the rest, which is pretty cool.
Sleep to Dream. This is not what you do in a jazz course.
This is pop.
I don't wanna lose them.
Melinda Cronin, Sleep to Dream. Ooh, I like it.
Good. It actually takes me back to when I was a child. Because I'll tell you one of my bad habits. Okay. I used to be one of the favourites of the little 9-volt transistor radio battery companies I would go to bed with my little transistor radio on, waiting for Karen Carpenter to come on. And once I'd heard, of course, you know, Close to You or something like that, that she sang, I'd be fast asleep probably. Of course, my radio would be left on all night, and by the morning it would have
battery's
a flat
dead,
battery.
Yeah.
But it takes me back to listening to Karen Carpenter, as Mel often does.
Oh,
just gorgeous.
It is gorgeous.
Thank you. So that's what you do when you're supposed to be studying jazz or waiting around.
Oh, yes, that's right. Well, lyrics come to you at all sorts of weird times and, yeah, lucky it did come to me because,
So is that now going to be a thing? Like, you know, you're going to go and wait around for a spot at the jazz class when you want to write a lyric because you think that's one
whatever
of my moments?
Boring, yeah, I look for boring moments. I look for really boring, tedious, like I'm driving myself crazy because then you got to do something, don't you? You just get your pen out, get your piece of paper out and write whatever's going on in your head. That's what art is. It's going on, you write it out.
I can imagine, you know, the broomstick at Mel's place with all of these texture and pen writing and, the vacuum cleaner.
No, it's just scraps of paper. Wherever I can get a scrap of paper, I can, you know, back of envelopes or whatever you can find. Right on the cat, right on the dog. Dog's got full of texters all over.
So the musical bio that we had, Mel, starts about 1999. Were you in the closet for a little while before you came out in 1990?
I was in a big closet.
Why were you in the closet? What was the story?
I think it just took a while for it all to develop. You know, it all took a while to kind of... you know, it's a journey, isn't it? It's all a journey.
Before that time, you've been singing?
Yeah, I was, yep.
And you've been writing at all?
I was writing words. Like, I didn't really pick up the guitar until I was probably in my late 20s, so I didn't really have anything to play on. So I guess I started writing songs like late 20s. That's when I did the Scala with Keith Preston. He gave me a break at the Goulburn Folk Festival. That was my first gig.
So he played and you sang?
He just gave me a break.
He just gave me a break.
You on the lineup. Excuse me, and I just had a friend who was playing guitar, and we got up there together,
and did
a spot, which is pretty cool. Yeah,
and then you were kind of there. I'm on a stage behind a microphone, and I can do this.
Yeah, then I started getting more involved in Scala and building on from there. Then I won a song competition with Quentin Ayres, and we did some recording with him, and grew from there.
What about music at home? Was there much when you were growing up?
Yes, music a lot at home. There was just music constantly at home.
What was it?
Lots of Elton John, lots of Mamas and the Papas.
So
all that stuff.
Your choices or
no,
your
my
parents'
dad,
choices?
My
your
dad.
Dad's choices.
Because he actually went away to was in a monastery thing, you know, like he was a brother. And he came out when he was 21 and he didn't really have much exposure to music. So we got it all. He relived his teens with us. So, all that really groovy stuff, Pink Floyd and, we got
all
it, which is great.
Adult discovery things.
Yeah. So thanks, Dad. I'd like to say thank you to my father. If it wasn't for him, I'd tell you what.
Perhaps I should say at this point thank you to my son because I probably never would have ever heard of Pink Floyd if he hadn't come up to me one day and said, Dad, you've got to listen to this. And I looked at it and thought, oh, yeah, I might have heard that before somewhere.
Oh, so you didn't have a misspent youth like some of us did.
Oh, never mind.
So, Melinda, did your dad play an instrument? Or
yeah. What did he play piano. So I got piano lessons when I was about 13, but then I kind of gave up. And then I started teaching myself again when I was kind of in my 30s, I think. Taught myself piano.
From books or from what?
No, just friends. I had knew some guys that used to play piano. They just showed me some chords and so I just learnt from there. And I don't really think I had many. I had some classical piano lessons, but that's not really where I got it from. I kind of taught myself. Classical didn't really take me anywhere, but yeah, just learnt it from books and stuff.
And then as you got more into the music thing, some jazz piano lessons and other sorts of piano lessons.
Yep, jazz, yep. And
vocal courses.
I did a little bit of classical singing, but then I sort of got more into the jazz because that's where I found that my voice was more suited. And then that's when I went and did the TAFE course in jazz. So I started getting some gigs. Actually, I was doing jazz gigs before that TAFE course. I did a fringe show, Sophisticated Ladies. So I met a guy who was a jazz musician, mm-hmm. and he kind of introduced me to the whole jazz kind of world. And so I kind of hung out with some jazz musicians and learned. Yeah, and I used to sit in on their gigs, and they used to let me get up on stage and sing. And so I just kind of, yeah, I taught myself, really. Sit down and listen to Billie Holiday and all that stuff, Carmen McRae, and got all my covers together, slowly got some covers together, all my scores. And
at what point did you decide you were going to join a choir for at least a little while?
Well, I thought I'd better get some real, you know, proper singing education, and so that's when I did the choral music. That was beautiful. I love that choral stuff. With
so
Peter
where
Hopkins.
Did you do that?
Hopkins. Peter Hopkins, yeah. Yeah, I've been in choirs.
Is that a group that's still going? Or?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, they're doing choral stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And did it do for you what you thought it might?
I'm not a very good classical singer. I'm not a very good, no.
And this choral singing was classical singing?
It was all classical. Well, choral is classical. I mean, it's not jazz, it's not contemporary. It was all, yeah, choral.
Well, some choirs are a cappella and they do things. They do gospel stuff and whatever else.
Yeah, a cappella. We did a lot of a cappella stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it was all that real, real early English, magical stuff, you know, the early.
Okay.
Yeah, which you have to be really spot on with your notes because it was all harmonies, like four-part harmonies, and I was, the soprano, but I wasn't hitting the notes very well. So I got put down to alto, and I think that was a bit easier, alto, but I'm an aspiring soprano. I didn't quite make it.
Were the notes a little bit too high?
They were a little bit
higher,
I think. They were sitting, this girl was sitting really, really far away from me. I thought, why is she sitting like way over there? And I think someone came up to me up and said, you're not hitting the notes very well. So that was my introduction to choral singing. You've really got to be spot on. So I think jazz is better because you can kind of hide underneath the music a little bit.
You can improvise.
You can bend the notes.
Yeah.
And
micro tuning can be a technique as well.
<That's
right. laughs> So all of these skills and that you've got, you know, some guitar, some piano, lots of voice stuff.
Yeah.
In fact, gone as far as Melbourne to do a workshop in voice.
Yeah.
I think. So that's some, you know, searching for
Well, I wanted to learn how to teach singing because I was teaching it as well out the back in my little music studio that I've set up with my husband. We built that. And so I thought, well, how do you teach someone how to sing? So I thought, this is very interesting. So it still kind of gives you all the secrets to how the voice works.
So a framework around.
Yeah, and like you learn the in-depth of the anatomy and physiology and how everything works, and you learn why people get, you know, throat problems when they sing, like nodules, and how the Jimmy Barnes has come about, you know, why, how that happens. And so you can actually, you know, get people to come along and actually heal their voices. They can actually, you know, work through all those terrible voice problems that they've got. So I thought, well, that'd be a great, you know, great thing to be able to do.
So did you succeed at that?
Yeah, I was teaching some young students. Yeah, I've still got a student. I've just got a... mostly school-age kids.
And did you solve some of their voice problems?
Well, I'm hoping I prevent the voice problems by teaching them the proper technique so that when they get to, you know, the rock and roll stuff, they're not going to be screaming their heads off and ruining their lovely little vocal cords.
You know, the screaming is so much fun.
It might be fun, but it's not good for you.
Oh, okay. I think it's time to set up for a song, guys. We've got a live one.
Talking about screaming, I probably have got a screamer in there somewhere, but I don't think we're not playing that one tonight.
Now, would you like to sing us a song, Melinda?
Oh, live.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I wrote this song about, do you want me to introduce it?
Yeah, but do you want to stand up too? Because you're going to stand up for this.
This song's called Emma Rillo, and it's about a client that I used to look after. I'm a mental health nurse as well in my other life. And so I used to look after this client who, her name is Emma, and so the names have changed to protect the innocent. And, she used to drive me crazy. She'd only call me when she wanted something. Like, why hasn't Emma called me for a while? Oh, that's right. There's nothing that she needs from me at the moment. So this is all about Emma.
You think I'm here at your beck and call. You're so self-entitled, honey. To despite it all. Those shortcomings appear to have shrunk on you. You lost it somewhere along the way. I hope you find it too. You recite every line under the sun. All the reasons why your life has come undone. Amarillo, have a good day. You don't fall through the cracks that are holding you up. How long will it last? You burnt down every bridge you cross. Always looking for something you lost. Amarillo, have a good day. You don't fall through the cracks that are holding you up. How long will it last? You burnt down every bridge you cross. Always looking for something you lost. You pine for your sanity. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, honey, but it won't be returning here. And all those complex personalities out to confuse me, derail me, purposely go on and drown in your self-pity. Go on and cry in your cup all those broken down dreams or all that's still holding you up. Have a good day, Amarillo, don't fall through the cracks that are holding you up. How long will it last? You burnt down every bridge you cross. Always looking for something you lost. Amarillo, how far can you go? Amarillo, cracks that hold you up, the cracks that you fall through. Amarillo, how low can you go? How low can you go? Amarillo.
Ooh, love that last chord. Jeez, that was nice. And you were listening to Melinda and Rowan, and the song was Amarillo. What a beautiful, cruisy jazz feel.
Yeah, good. Mm. Thank you. Yeah, I didn't set out to sing it or write a jazz song, but yeah, that's just what came out.
Oh, yeah. Love it. Love that last note. That last chord was just, oh, it's really sweet.
Yay.
I love that feeling of, it's not really resolved, is it?
Yeah.
Just hanging there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So cool.
Thank you.
And it definitely suits the song material as well. Mm. But even when it doesn't, I kind of like that.
Oh, yeah.
That's all about.
Just a sucker for not quite resolved.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. Mm. And a tiny bit of dissonance, you know. It's good stuff.
Okay. Where are we up to with this new recording, Melinda?
Well, we're supposedly going into the studio pretty soon. I'm waiting in the wings. So we've
but
got all the
you as a full-time music student at uni, how much time do you have to be waiting in the wings?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't know.
Do they have
that happen on the weekends, I think?
And uni holidays coming up as your program things.
Well, we're on
that?
Uni holidays now, so
you'll be back to it by the time the spot comes.
Yeah, we're going to Fiji on Thursday for a week, so I'm not going to be able to be doing any recording. I'm going to be in Fiji.
Oh, well, just record in Fiji.
Here's Melinda through a snorkel.
Yeah.
So you've made a few recordings to date. There's been a couple of EPs released, a couple of Scala tracks as well from Foom Winners and the like. But you've gone, I think you're going a slightly different direction from where you've gone in the past, because often you've been working with Quentin Ayres and Darren Mullen.
Mm-hmm.
But this time, Charisma and a different producer?
Well, Adam's very jazz-based. He's a jazz piano player. So I got to know him through the jazz people. And he did the sound course at TAFE, and he wants to get into... He's into production, and so because we're really good friends, and he helped me write a lot of the scores. he knows the music inside out, and we just
And he happens to have good keyboard skills, really, which
really
you can
good
use
keyboard
as well.
Skills. Really, really good keyboard skills.
And the charisma choice?
Well, that was Adam's.
Okay.
So Adam went around looking for a studio, and that's what we came up with.
And the name of this project is going to be Melinda Cronin. Is that
your
name is what it's
going to
be?
I think so, yeah. I think we'll,
So your songs and your voice, and that's what it's about.
Okay. It's all about me.
That's right.
You haven't got that so far.
I didn't see the name of that track anywhere anyway.
That's me, baby. It's all about me.
And not that long ago you had a published song as well. So tell us about that.
Well, Jack overheard For Your Life, which is what I wrote. I wrote this song called For Your Life. It's all about my experience at a drug and alcohol rehab centre where I worked in my other life.
I'm glad you got that last bit on where I worked rather than where I was.
That's right. I was helping them. I wrote this song called For Your Life. Mm-hmm. And Jack Dalton overheard it in Darren Mullen's studio and went, "Wow, I really like that song." He's
an accent.
He's American, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Let's change the words." So he got my song and changed the words, which I don't think is as good as mine.
He wanted to make it a bit more palatable for Americans.
For Your Love. Well, he changed it to be about a relationship, and it wasn't actually about a relationship. It was about a guy that was about to leave the woolshed, and I thought, oh, here we go. He's going to go out in the streets and use again. I thought, here I am. We're fighting for your life here at this rehab centre. Mm. And so that's what it was actually about. It was about recovery.
Mm.
It's actually, anyway, it's on that CD that I've just given you, but we're not going to play that song tonight unless you really, really want to
hear it. No, you don't.
Yeah.
It's your show, Melinda.
Yeah. So But, you know, hey, look, you can Google it and you can have a look at the film clip because he did a really cool film clip.
Mm-hmm.
And if you Google Jack Dalton, here you go, Jack, I'm plugging you here, For Your Love, it's my song. But he changed the words. Like, most of the words are mine. Like, 75% of the words are mine. All the chords are mine. He just changed a few of the words. My song.
Okay.
Better.
So is that something that might continue to happen into the future?
I hope I can get to more
him
publishing.
Or other people will be interested in.
Other people.
Mm-hmm.
Other people. He went to Nashville and actually recorded that, so that's pretty cool.
So did it come out country?
No, it's rock. It's okay. Definitely rock. But, I'd like to get some publishing. That would be cool, yeah.
Very good. Yep. So the songs that you're recording for this album, we've heard you're going to re-record at least something that we've already heard, but are they largely new songs or are they going back?
There's four of the older tracks, but, all the other stuff will be... Oh, I don't know. We haven't actually sat down and written a list of the tracks on the album. So it'll be a little bit of everything. Some of the new stuff, some of the older stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And with a slightly different feel with, I presume, keyboard front and centre.
They're actually all jazz musos that are actually going to be playing.
So are you aiming for a jazz feel?
I think so. But, these guys can pretty well, they can play anything. So some of the tracks are going to be very jazzy kind of stuff. And... it just depends on what the song needs. They're amazing musicians. It's going to be great. Looking forward to it.
Sounds good. I think it's time for some more music now.
Right.
So shall we call the police?
Yeah, I think you better. I did this with Darren Mullen.
Yourself, what you're getting into? Who you see? Is it really where you wanna be? I don't want you here with your what's the matter looks. I wanna be self-indulgent, honey, 'cause it feels so good. Would you miss me if I crossed over to the other side? Call the police and the fire brigade too. Get me out of this hole that I've fallen into. Go tell my brother.
gate too. Get me out of this hole that I've fallen into. Go tell my mother, come to my defense. Call the police, 'cause this can't be the end. Get me out of this hole that I've fallen into.
Call the police and the fire brigade too. Melinda Cronin with Call the Police.
Now, you're telling us that one had an earlier life, I think, Melinda.
Yes.
Where did it come from?
Well, like a life experience kind of thing, all songs come from, so, you know.
But was it in an earlier recording release?
Yes, yeah. This was, yeah, a few years
back. So one
of
the earlier EPs.
Yes, yeah.
And will it be revitalised and recharged?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I haven't really thought about that.
It's a really nice arrangement. And yeah. I'm assuming that you are the backing vocals as well.
Louise Messenger actually helped me.
Really?
Yeah.
Really
she
nice.
She just walked into the studio and I'm like, oh, do you want to do some backup, Louise? She's like, okay. She was just visiting Darren and I actually, yeah, happened to know her as well. So, yeah, she's great.
Really
I love,
nice.
I love her voice. So, yeah, I was lucky. Mm. I was very lucky.
So it pays to hang around with some of the jazz circles. You find yourself some cool musos who will just walk into the studio at the right time.
Yes. Mm. So what you know.
Very good. Yeah. Now, we've come time for the talk about song. At Songcatcher here, we like to try to get our songwriting guests to tell us a little bit of the backstory of a song,
mm-hmm.
at least in a little bit of depth of as to why or the philosophy or... What you've done, you've chosen something called syncing, which you've suggested is all about the way that you're handling this current Bachelor of Music course at uni. But, of course, you were joking. I don't really believe that at all.
Well, it was at the beginning of the year when it was just all very new. And my dad was actually in hospital just whilst I was starting this university course full time. And he was having an operation, which was a pretty minor. It was an elective surgery. But I lost my mother about a year ago and... So he's become, you know, my sole parent, and it was just really weird the way I experienced him being in hospital, and seeing him so vulnerable, and it really affected me deeply. And then I was starting uni, and I was just not coping.
It's a big change, isn't it?
I was just not coping, and so, yeah. So this is a song about me feeling like I was sinking, Clayton.
And the import of such a big change of... You know, your dad being so vulnerable and, you know, he's, I'm sure, quite close to you, as well as the change of scenery.
Yeah.
Because no longer do you have an income coming in like you used to.
Well, I'm lucky enough to have had some an inheritance. So I took the year off, taken the year off work to study this year.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also, I felt totally out of my depth mm-hmm. and I didn't really have a peer group.
Now, you've
being
done,
an older student.
You've done university before, though, no?
Nursing, yeah, back in the 80s, yeah.
Okay.
So that was a while ago.
Doesn't seem like a while ago.
Oh, it was yesterday.
Yeah. That was a while ago.
Yeah, I guess so. So when you feel like that, like I'm a bit lost here, I'm out of my depth, my dad's really ordinary and this is really getting me in the gut, is music... And the creativity, is that when things come to you?
Yeah, I think sometimes we are at our lowest points, and music's a great way to sort of find a perspective on what's going on and a way to express yourself, and it's amazing what can come out. Mm-hmm. Like actually, I wrote a couple of songs around this whole thing about with my dad, and And this was with the university. I was really feeling like, I mean, it was just all this information coming at me, and I was just like, and the first line of this is I was engulfed. So I did feel like I was kind of like overwhelmed by the university and all my feelings around my dad and what have I got myself into, and everyone here was so much younger than me. So I was, all these emotions were coming up, and I just was walking to the university one day along North Terrace, and I just thought to myself, I'm sinking, I'm engulfed by my thoughts. And I thought, wow, what a great line for a song. So I wrote the song. I scribbled all the lines down.
This was in one of your lectures, I'm sure.
I don't know where I wrote the rest. I think I went home that night and just wrote it. Yeah.
So do you feel a little bit more comfortable going to uni now after like half of the year is now passed?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I'm not too concerned about what people think of me anymore. Initially, I was kind of like, oh, wow, what are they thinking of me because I'm older than them? And now I think, well, I'm here for me. You know, I'm here to get what I want out of it, and I'm here to suck it for all I can get, and I'm doing that, and I'm doing quite well, mm-hmm. which is pretty fantastic.
So the
amazing
academic Melinda's come to the fore as well.
Yeah, and I think I'm doing really well, and it gives you all the skills that you need to, you know, to have a life in the music industry. It gives you all the, you learn how to record on different programs, you learn all about sound engineering, you learn all about songwriting.
And did you get to the end of writing this song Sinking and come to a similar resolution like you're now at home at uni?
No. No.
That probably wasn't the point though.
No, this was just this was just a part of the whole experience that I was thinking at the time, feeling at the time. Mm-hmm. I guess I'll feel a sense of belonging there, but sometimes it takes a while for you to sort of settle in and fit in and create your own little peer group. Which takes a while, and yeah, I hope I get lots more fodder. I'm sure I'll get lots more fodder from that place. I get fodder wherever I go. Whenever disaster happens to me, I draw something from it. It's good. Disasters are good.
Oh, I don't know that I want to quote you on that one.
It's a positive spin, isn't it?
You know what I mean? Like, you know, what would you be able to do if everything was great and you were in your life, everything was happy? I mean, how could you, what would you write about? You know, like daisies and blossoms and things. It'd be pretty boring, wouldn't it?
I sometimes wonder about people that have got lives like that, though, and I think, well, gee, would they be a little bit colourless?
But you dig deep, Clayton. Dig deep. Something's going on.
No, if you dig into me deep, there's nothing there, I'm sure.
Oh,
but anyway.
No.
So, Sinking.
Okay.
We better get the resolution of Dad. He got out of hospital.
Yeah,
and
look, it was just a knee replacement. It was nothing major.
Good on you, Dad.
But, you know, he was just lying there looking so vulnerable. And
knees are pretty damn tough.
We've got this amazing connection. We've just got this really incredible bond that we've just developed since my mum passed. But we've always been close the last few years. And, you know, old people don't always survive anesthetics.
It could have been
either way, Clayton. No, he survived.
Well, thankfully
he's doing really well, actually.
His real knee and his other knee are still with us on the planet walking around.
I'm sinking, engulfed by my own thoughts. I'm falling, tangled up in the weeds, and the problems I have caught, I'm turning into something terrible inside. I'm like a clock who keeps running out of time. Gasping for a little air, I'm going blue, starved of O2. I can't seem to find a soul who really cares, or someone to find a place to
take me to. I'm turning into something terrible inside. I'm like a criminal who keeps running from her love. Let me sing, let me drown, let me float, let me fall. Where I go, I don't know. Deeper into the gray, the black and the blue. No one can save me. No, I don't think even you. I'm enraged by this ordeal and this cold reality. I feel I must have been wrong all along to be here and thrown amongst the throng, sinking slowly with the stones, going down. Where has she gone? Let me sink, let me drown, let me float, let me fall. Where I go, I don't know. Somewhere deeper into the gray, the black and the blue. No one can save me. I don't think even you. Let me sink. Let me sink. A place where I can.
Sinking, Melinda Cronin, accompanied by Rowan beautifully. And you're back with Songcatcher, and didn't we love that song, Sinking? That was beautiful.
Indeed. And isn't it sad that sometimes you have to go to such a dark place to find something so beautiful?
I felt like I was spiraling down as I was listening to it. You know, really, it had that pull of...
Oh, that's
real good. Sadness.
That's good, because that's how I was feeling.
I'm so glad I made you sad.
I feel like shit, and you're coming too.
Yeah. Well.
And Rowan, your accompaniment was just so sensitive, just so beautiful.
Very
sweet. Yes. Tricky, you know, you feel pretty depressed afterwards.
So we're all in a puddle of tears now.
There you go. But we do know the knees are okay. We do know the song worked out all right in the long run. Dad's up and running and we're no longer sinking. Have we written a happy song since?
Don't really do happy songs, Clayton. I've written a couple of love songs. I suppose they're happy.
Oh, good.
Yeah. But they're a bit mushy, aren't they, some of those loves?
They can
you know,
be.
When you sing them to your partner, it might be nice. But when you sing them to people, it's like, really? Really? You know what I mean?
Okay. Well, maybe.
That's my next interview. I'll sing you some love songs next time you have me around. Okay?
Well,
I promise.
You don't have to. I mean, you can write me more songs. Yeah.
More depressing songs.
No, I think we should send you around the hospital ward to, you know, where everybody's about to get better and go home and write some of those.
Okay, I'll try.
We'll
I'll try and be happy.
Maybe.
I'll try.
Well, we might go to the next track.
Okay.
I think this one's come from Brett Sodi.
This is a spiritual song. There you go. Well, it's kind of this is actually a kind of a love song in a way. I wrote this about my husband. Hi, Michael, and you at the end of the day, you only want what's best for your partner, don't you? You only want them to be happy, and that's what I realized one day. I was driving, and like, you know what? I really just want my partner to be happy. That's all I really want. I don't know why I give him such a hard time when I really just want him to be happy. Like, cut it already. Cut it. I was having a really strong talk to myself. Cut it out. You know, stop with everything. Stop with the criticism and this and that. End of the day. So this song's about wanting your partner to be happy.
Radio Adelaide.
Sorry, folks. Pressed the wrong button. Happens like that sometimes.
That was Radio Adelaide.
No use pretending to yourself you can't fall. If life's not love, then what's the point of it all? Get down on my knees and I pray for you, I get down on my knees and I pray for you, for you.
To pray.
Oh, it's a beautiful recording, Melinda.
Thank you.
I love that.
Yeah, Brent Sody Studios. Very, very good.
With multi-track Melinda and a few other instruments happening.
Yes.
Mm, very, very sweet. So
thank you.
When do you think we'll be hearing about a release of the new Melinda Cronin CD?
I think next year at this point.
Sometime next year, hopefully.
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Well, and a big launch.
Oh, yeah. I think, yeah.
Lots of fun to happen.
The Gov. I think I'll hire out the Gov. And back room.
And come back and see us.
Oh, yes.
So that we
CD launch, yes. Mm. Promo, definitely.
Very good.
Feel happy.
So, gigs and things about the place. Where might you be playing? Besides Elder Conservatory or some of the practice rooms? And
I'm just kind of focusing on the university stuff at the moment, but I've got a Scala gig.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the 22nd of October? You booked me. The 22nd of October.
There you go. So, time to look out for that at the Weedy.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, that'll be one, but not too much in the way of live Melinda around the traps at the moment.
Not sure at the moment.
Mm-hmm. And have to make sure that this year is well spent and you keep those row of distinctions happening.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely.
Show those youngins what
I will. Don't you worry.
And some new songs along the way, hopefully inspired by positive, nice things.
I'll try, Clayton. But, you know.
There's no guarantee in that, she says.
No, they're a bit boring.
As long as they're beautiful.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And where can people keep up with what you might be up to? Do you have a website or a Facebook or something like that?
I do have a website. Mm-hmm. I'm needing to. Yeah, it's jazzclub.net.au.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to have to update that one. And I've also got a WordPress.
Okay.
Mel Cronin, WordPress.
So a couple of places you can find what Mel is musing up to.
Mel, that was good.
Never mind. Now, just a little couple of announcements before we go. Next week it's the Shambolics. Scala this week, this Thursday night at the Wheaties, Trung Duan. Mantra Coda and Sean Tyner in band mode. July 21st, Wirra Creek at the Stone Pony. Dave Blight, Chris Finan, Rob Riley and Trev Warner, so that's sounds like a lot of fun. July 23rd at Fidel's, the Yellow Blue Bus and Vagaband and AP D'Antonio, and I've just picked up my Umbrella Winter Sounds.
So there's a lot going on in Adelaide.
July 14 starts Friday night.
Lots of music.
Lots of fun, lots of music, so no excuse not to get out for it. Mm. And if you're from Adelaide, you can put on something waterproof. And you won't shrink away if you get hit by the rain. Yeah, you won't melt, that's right. Okay, we're going to leave you with Consolation. Thank you, Mel.
Thank you, thanks for having us. Thank you, bye.
It's 4 o'clock in the morning.